Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith, and I want to say a special welcome to all of you that might be with us for the first time. Maybe you kind of grew up in church or with God or religion and then kind of walked away from that for a while, and now you're kind of coming back. You might be a young family that's thinking, hey, I want to have some faith or God or religion in my kid's life, and you're with us. Maybe you've just moved in the area or checking out churches, or you might be like I was years ago. I wasn't raised with church or God or religion in my life, but something happened and I was invited to church and I showed up. That might be you here today. Whatever the situation or circumstances you're in, so glad that you're with us. Hope it's a great experience for you. One thing to know about us is we're a multi-campus church. That means we're one church in more than one location. And so at this point in our church service, the message portion of the service, every week we're connected with our Torrance campus over on Lomita Boulevard. So I want to say hi to everybody at our Torrance campus. They're all cheering right now and clapping, and they can't hear anything I'm saying at the moment, but great to be connected in this way. And if you're watching us online, thanks for logging on. Today, we're starting a five-week series called Portraits, and the idea is we're getting a picture of what it looks like to have a relationship with God and to be connected with other people who have a relationship with God, specifically here at Journey of Faith. What is God doing in our lives individually and together at this church? So if you are new with us, the next 5 weeks are going to be great because you're going to get a real sense of who we are, what we do, and how we do it. And if this is your church home, this is going to be a great refresher about what we do and what we're inviting people into. When we're inviting people into having a relationship with God and be connected to church, what does that look like? And that's kind of one of the questions that's going to shape these 5 weeks is, what are we inviting people into? What does it mean to have a relationship with God? And what does it mean to have a relationship with God together as a church? Because while we all have our own individual walks with God and experiences with God, some of the best work we do happens together. And let me give you a kind of a little illustration of this. From just a couple of weeks ago, we were driving my daughter up back to school in Oregon. So we took a trip through Northern California. We stopped along some ways. And as a family, we were kind of like, where should we go? And I found a place that I wanted to go. I looked it up. Is called Pluto's Cave. Anybody been to Pluto's Cave near Mount Shasta? Absolutely no one, probably. Oh, you have? Maybe somebody at Torrance is like, I have. Anybody? No, it's just a couple of us. Thanks, ChatGPT, for planning my trip for me, sending me somewhere where no one goes. So this was the start of Pluto's. This is Mount Shasta, and then that's how long the sign's been around, well taken care of, too. So we went to... we parked and then we hiked through this long area. We finally got to Pluto's Cave, and it was like it's a collapsed lava tube out there. And so we went down these rocks. We looked, and it was about as big as a two-car garage, and it was black rock in the shape of an arch. And I was like, that's it? This is what we went out for? So, I'm standing there. We took some pictures. Hey, look at the rock. It was really nothing. So then we saw some hikers come by. And they were like, looking for Pluto's Cave, huh? And I was like, yep, I found it. They were like, that's not Pluto's Cave. They said, you're not even close. You got to go through all these things and get ready. You're going to go up and down a lot of rocks and boulders to get to it. But you gotta see it. It's worth the hike. And we were like, okay. So we went up and down the boulders, up and down the rocks, and then we made our way into Pluto's Cave. And here's a picture of my wife and I in there. This is me and my wife. And this is where we came in. There's no light. I mean, we went through all these different things. We couldn't even see the light on the way out, and the opposite way is exactly the same. It was nice and cool in there. It was beautiful and awe-inspiring and grand. It was spectacular to be in there. Now, it took some work to get in, and it took some work to get out, but we all helped each other so that we could have this experience. One of the members of our family had a harder time than the rest of us, and it's this member of our family. This is Shiloh, and as you can tell, he is not a Rhodesian Ridgeback. He is a Shih Tzu, he is a lap dog. And so as we got down to the two-car garage part, he was like, okay, good, we're done. And then as we started going through the boulders, he sat down and was like, this ain't happening. So I was like, well, I've been told, I'm talking to my dog who can't hear. And I'm like, you've got to get in there. We got to get you in here. So he got the royal treatment on the trip, and I just kind of carried him on my shoulder in and out like a little 20-pound sandbag going in and out of that place. I was thinking about this, and the spirit, it reminded me of the spiritual life. God has these beautiful, grand, awe-inspiring experiences for us to have. But he doesn't really intend for us to experience them alone. It's something we help each other get to. And some of us need some carrying to get there. But God's designed us to work together to experience what is beautiful and grand and awe-inspiring, particularly the love and forgiveness that's found in Jesus. God wants us to work together right here in the South Bay to help people experience that. So here's the main idea I want to share with you today. We can work together to share the love of God in the South Bay. And a lot of us are already doing it. Let me share with you a few portraits of people right here at church who are doing this already. This is Joe. He's at our Torrance campus. When you pull into our parking lot at our Torrance campus, there's Joe. He's going to help you find a great seat. He's going to make sure your car is in just the right place, and he's going to welcome you in. He's part of the larger team of all of us working together to show the love of God. If you've got kids, you might have met Patty and Deanna. They work in our kids ministry, checking kids in, making sure that they get in the age-appropriate places so they can experience the love of and forgiveness in Jesus. Here's one more. This is Frank at our Manhattan Beach campus. He's one of our greeters, and he's holding a bucket of beans. I don't know what he's holding. No, we do communion, kind of a symbolic meal that helps draw together us as a spiritual family. We do that about once a month, maybe every 4 to 6 weeks, and that's the bucket that we kind of have that hands out communion elements to people. So Frank's one of our greeters. You come up to the church and you walk up to a door and Frank's one of those guys that say, you're here. It's gonna be great. We've been waiting for you. Every week we're gonna show some portraits of us as we're all working together. And hopefully it's gonna inspire us to see that we all have portraits of how we play a part in something much bigger that God's doing. So let me share with you some of what the Bible can offer to us about how we can work together to share the love of God in the South Bay. And the book of the Bible we're gonna be looking at today and through the following weeks in this series is the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is located right in the middle. If you have a hardbound Bible or a physical Bible, you open it right. If you lay it down and it flaps open, it's probably gonna be at the Psalms. I think that actually is one of the reasons why it's the most popular book in the Bible, because back in the day when most people were using hard-bound Bibles, they would just open it up. Well, I guess God wants me to look right there. There, it just fell right open. I also think it's really popular because unlike the other genres in the Bible, like law or prophecy or stories, the Psalms are a collection of song lyrics and poems and emotional prayers written by all kinds of different people in all different kinds of situations. So I think it's kind of a go-to book where if I'm looking to figure out what I'm feeling or express something that I'm longing for, it's a good chance the Psalms give me words to do that. I've actually decided a couple of weeks ago that I'm gonna start reading one Psalm a day until I get through all of them. I'm just gonna read it and kind of sit quietly and see if anything stands out to me. That might be something you might want to think about over the next 5 weeks, to just get into this book of Psalms and, and see what stands out to you. Let me point out what I think are a couple of themes in the book of Psalms that can help us in having a spiritual life for us individually and working together as a church. Here's one of those themes. Lean into the power of invitation. Spiritual growth starts with invitation. God invites us to experience a beautiful world. People invite us to consider a relationship with God. And that theme of invitation, it pops up all the time in the book of Psalms. Let me show you a few examples. Look at this song lyric. Come and see what our God has done. What awesome miracles he performs for people. I like that. It's not like, let's come and get into the deep truths of the Bible or come get into the complicated issues of religion and spirituality. It's like, you know, God's doing great things. Come on, take a look. Come and see. Especially you end up inviting somebody to church or you invite somebody into some beautiful experience of God. You're kind of saying, you know, God's changing lives. It'd be great if you kind of saw that. There's another psalm where the author uses culinary language to say something very similar. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Again, it's not like come take a big bite out of faith or religion. Come take a, oh, you got to get it. It's like, no, just have a little taste. And you know how people mostly get a taste of the spiritual life? From people who say they're followers of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are, intentionally or unintentionally, giving people a taste of the spiritual life. Are you intentional about it? Do your words and actions and decisions and the ways that you relate to people give people a taste of what it means to be with Jesus? And then that beautiful line that says, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I thought about Pluto's cave again. We were hiking out there and it was hot and we were sweating and we were like, oh, I'm tired. I'm agonizing here. And then we got in that cave and we cooled down and it was quiet. There's something about a relationship with God and intimacy with God that when we're in crisis, when we're struggling, when we're dealing with these, there's kind of a sigh of relief at times when we're able to experience connection with God. Here's one more. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. This is the invitation. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Now, what was the house of the Lord that this person was talking to? Back in the times when these Psalms were written, there was a Jewish temple in Jerusalem up on the Temple Mount. It's not there today, but there was a Jewish temple. And Psalm 122 is what's called a Psalm of Ascent. So the idea is this psalm or song was written to be sung on the way to temple, that place where God's people would gather and sing and pray and experience God's love and forgiveness. So like, let's, as we're going, we're gonna sing this song that says, I was glad when they were like, let's go to the house of the Lord. Yeah, that's cool, we're gonna go up. Some of you listen to worship music on the way to church. Some of you listen to worship music during the week. And what would it be like if it kind of ascended to the point where I'm kind of preparing for a group experience where we sing together and pray together and learn together and serve together? Like that kind of anticipation is so beautiful. Do you experience that? I mean, you're thinking, hey, it's time to go to church. I'm glad. Or is it more like me? It's like this. No, it's not like that for me. But I will say, let's go back to that other one. Let me be honest, as someone who has struggled with anxiety and depression, I have struggled with getting up in the morning at times. Some of you know what that's like. It takes a little bit more work for some of us. So verses like this are very important to me. Verses like this live rent-free in my brain. As like, I need to find the verses in the Bible and the prayers that say, God's inviting me to a place where something beautiful is gonna happen. And the approach that I usually take is I try to take advice from my future self. Because my future self says, wasn't that great? You're gonna like this. You know what it's like when you're on the other side of an event, you're like, I'm glad I came. I need to get my future self talking to my present self a lot more often. This message of invitation is so powerful. I'm actually a portrait of the power of invitation. 35 years ago, my friends said, you should come to church. You should come to church with us. And they asked a lot of times. And eventually, I showed up. And what I experienced was a group of people that were gathering together regularly to work on the betterment of themselves for God's glory and the good of others. And that captured me in such a unique way. And I'm glad that my friends in that day didn't get hung up the way some of us get hung up when it comes to inviting people. We're like, well, I would invite people, but I don't know if they would say yes. So maybe I won't. I don't want it to hurt the relationship, so I'm not gonna do that. Or I want people to have a relationship with God and a relationship with other people in church and stuff like that, but I don't know all the Bible answers, or I don't know the Bible well enough, or I don't know how to answer their difficult questions. And what I'm saying is, that is not really that important. What's really important is the power of invitation. Just say, come and see. Now you might say, well, but I don't think most people want to get invited to church. Let me give you some jarring current statistics. 82% of unchurched individuals, people that are not connected to a church, are at least somewhat likely to attend church if personally invited. Here's another one. 63% of Americans say a personal invitation from a friend or neighbor would be effective in getting them to visit a church. Look at this one. 70% of unchurched people have never been invited to a church. And now about us church people. Only 2% of church members invite an unchurched person to church. So there's something up here about invitation. And when we talk about the South Bay, we have about the number of unchurched people, people that are not connected to a church. Either they have never been to church, or they went to church years ago, dropped out, never came back. 80% of people living in the South Bay are unchurched. That's about 500,000 to 600,000 people. People are interested. God's interested. What would it be like to lean into inviting people? Now, here's an action step. And you're gonna think, I know what the action step is. You know what the action step is? I need to make a list of people and invite one of them this week. No, that's not the action step. Here's the action step. Keep an updated list of the benefits you've experienced through your church and faith. See, when you invite somebody, the implicit question behind the scenes is why? Why should I go? And rather than figuring out why they should go, you can tell your story. I can tell you why I went. I can tell you how it's helped me. I can tell you the benefits that I've gotten from it. What would that list look like? Would it be, I was going through a difficult time and I ended up getting in this care group where I met people going through similar things. I was feeling really disconnected from people and I found a new group of friends. I was looking for some way to express what I was feeling inside. And I ended up at this church and it did something for me. I was looking for a place in August with air conditioning and I ended up here and it was great. You know, like what benefits to it. I can tell you for me, my most recent, I would say in the last 6 months in particular, I have always wrestled with not being direct, like being overly sensitive, and also kind of being avoidant. And that's been a challenge of mine my whole life. But I would say over the last 6 months, through interactions in a life group, in a class I took, and in relationship with other people at this church, it has helped me be more direct and be more wisely courageous rather than avoidant. So there's some real personal growth that I've experienced. That would be on my list as kind of a current thing. If you were to invite somebody and they would say, why? What has it done for you? What would you say? And are you ready with that? And that's one of the other themes that as you read through the Psalms, there's a theme here that can help us as a church, and it's this. It's the second theme for today. Be ready to welcome guests. See, because the idea is God is always welcoming people into relationship with him. God is always saying, come and see. Come experience what I have for you. Step into this new phase of the spiritual life. God's always inviting people. Do we know who God is inviting? What kinds of people does God often go to and invite into relationship? If we know those kinds of people, we can be better prepared. Let me give you a few examples from the Psalms of the kinds of people that God draws into relationship with, just not with himself, but with a church. Here's one. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. If God is reaching out to brokenhearted people and saying, come to me, come into a relationship with me, come visit a church, then we need to be very tender and sensitive to brokenhearted people. We need to be people of compassion and not condemnation. We need to be people who are ready for people who are coming in who are at a vulnerable spot in life. And you know what that means, because probably half of you ended up visiting a church for the first time because there was something going on in your life that was hurting. Here's another one. God places the lonely in families. Church is designed to be a spiritual family, a new kind of family. Loneliness is an epidemic. The South Bay is a crowded place and at the same time, a profoundly lonely place. Right? We know you can be lonely in a crowded room. People are looking for relationship and connection with people. And especially in our day where we have the culture wars, people are like, how do I find my people? Are they in group A or group B? What if the church was kind of group C that included a variety of different people where we can find our people? Here's one more. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. This is what I was looking for when I came to faith. 19 years old. I was looking for truth. Those of you that know my story, I had a spiritual experience with nature. I suddenly realized out of nowhere that there was purpose and order and meaning in the natural world. And I was like, who or what is responsible for this? And somebody said, you should come to church. And I was like, yeah, I haven't given that a try. I should check that out. And then when I got to church, I discovered another area of truth that I was wrestling with. See, I'd always consider myself like a generally good moral person, ethical, well-intentioned. But I also recognized there was a part of me given to self-sabotage, selfishness, resentment. And I'm like, how can both of those things reside in the same place? Because I have plenty of people saying, people are generally good. And they're generally, they just need to be helped out. And then I heard another group that said, people are all evil and there's nothing good in them at all. And I'm like, how do I figure out the truth of how the human soul is built? So as I got into church, I was seeking truth. And I think that's one of the reasons why we also lean into like very understandable and practical Bible teaching. Because sometimes churches and religious groups, we'll talk about more about this next week, but sometimes churches and religion, it can be very confusing. And sometimes Jesus doesn't help it out though that much. You look at the examples in the New Testament of Jesus teaching, he's always teaching in riddles and metaphors and illustrations. Nobody knows what he's talking about. And then at the end, he'll pull his disciples aside and say, let me explain to you what's going on. And they're always so relieved when Jesus is teaching in understandable and practical ways. I found this great quote from the New Testament when this happened. It says, then the disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly. That's what they said of Jesus. They're like, finally, we understand what you're talking about. So we lean into that. That's what we need. We're inviting, God's inviting, and there's people who are hurting and lonely and looking for truth. Are we ready for that? Here's an action step, one more for today. Dive into helping make our church guest ready. You know how it is at your house. You have some guests coming over. You're like, well, let's clean up a little bit. I need to know where things are. You know where the restroom is. I got to tell them, you know, where, this is how you, you know, I probably need to make sure there's a place for them to park. Sometimes when I have guests coming over, I'll move my car, I'll go down the street. So when they pull up, they don't have to go, where do I park around here? You park right over here because I left a spot for you. And what is there to offer? Am I familiar enough with what are we having? What are we eating? What are we serving? That's what the next few weeks are gonna be about, is helping us all get familiar with, hey, here's the kids programs we have. Here's the programs we have for students. Here's some groups and some classes that we're offering. Here's some ways to reach out in the community. Here's some different things we have offered to get ready. To what extent are you inviting or responding to the people God is inviting and sending to you? And then how are you guest ready? How familiar are you with our church where you can be like, oh, I know where you can go. Oh, I know what's happening. So we're gonna kind of get more guests ready. But I think, like, the big part is having that invitational spirit and that sense of readiness inside you where you're thinking about the people that are not even here yet. Here's what we talked about today. We should work together to share the love of God in the South Bay. How? When we read the Psalms, we see this power of invitation. And then this sense of readiness. God is close to people who are experiencing these things in his life, in their lives. How can we be ready to be close to them too? So we're gonna close our service by singing a song that's kind of themed around God getting us ready and changing our hearts and working in us, so we can reflect that same invitational spirit. So as we're gonna have our bands come out here and at our Torrance campus. And as they do that, let me just share with you how important the mission, that invitation is to the mission of our church. Here's our mission statement: inviting you to follow Jesus to make a difference in your world. And we made this mission statement that who is God inviting? You. And then if someone were to say, hey, what's the mission of your church? We would be like, inviting you. Like, I'm here, God's inviting me, and now I'm inviting you. And then you invite somebody else. I just spoke with somebody after the service, it was his first time here, and a great guy. And he said, I'm here because somebody invited, my friend who's right here invited me. And I was talking to my cousin, and he was like, why are you going to church? And I was like, well, this is what I'm looking for. And he said, it was so meaningful for me. And he said, I said, what are you going to do now? He was like, I'm going to go home and invite my cousin to come next week. Come and see. Taste and see. The Lord is good. And God has done marvelous things. Let's invite others in. Would you stand? And I'm going to pray for us. And then this song that we're going to sing is going to be a prayer. Now, when we finish the service, if you're like, hey, you mentioned prayer, I'd like somebody to pray for me. I got something I want to talk about. We're going to have members of our prayer team right over here by this cross here at Manhattan Beach and at our Torrance campus. It's right over there, right after the service. And then if you have other questions about the church, we have a connections area right outside. We mentioned it earlier, and you can get your questions answered. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song together, which is kind of a prayer for us. God, thank you. Thank you for your invitational spirit. Thank you that you don't leave us out there to figure out things on our own. And God, thank you that sometimes you don't even like complicate things by giving us more than we can handle. You're just like, come experience it. Thank you for loving us, for knowing us, for being close to us when we're hurting and when we're lonely and when we're looking for truth. And thank you for the mission you've given us to invite other people into relationship with you and with all of us. May this song move in our hearts through the work of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.